Politics is weird and creepy, and now I know lacks even the loosest attachment to anything like reality.
It's Free Thought Thursday in the wine cellar. Who took my glass? This show is fucked up. Father Teresa's wine cellar is rated R for keeping it real.
How do you feel?
I feel amazing. Is this how men feel?
All the time.
Even the ugly ones.
It's a chance to do good for us boys in the hood. Just call us NWA, Neighbors with Appetizers.
In Father Teresa's wine cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
All right, and we will go ahead and do another temporarily Patreon-only full episode. Not too long for a morning wine cellar, but not a very long episode in gen. So let's go ahead and figure this gosh darn thing out, all right? All right, let's go over here. Excuse. And I want to take a look at this SF Gate, San Francisco Gate. All right, we've looked at this outlet before and grabbed a little news from them. All right, so this article went up by Katie Dowd. And it went up just yesterday on the 13th. Right now, it's February 14th, 2019, as we record this gosh darn thing right here. So, after NFL players started taking a knee during the national anthem, whack song, really not a dope record. And an individual who went by the name of Stephen Martin decided to stage a protest of his own. All right. So much a bottom line. And Stephen Martin pulled all Nike gear from his Colorado Springs sports store. And it's called Primetime Sports. And this decision was prompted by Nike's deciding to give Colin Kaepernick a job. And as I say, Kaepernick had a job, but somehow he lost it. So it's like, I can't even trip off the cape for taking the fucking Nike job. Like, nigga had a gig, but I don't know what happened. Like, I don't know. He just didn't make the cut. He's just not a good enough quarterback over here, you know? All right. So let's take a look here. Oh, geez. So much with the pop-ups on this website recently. They got videos auto-playing and shit. And, quote, he said, we have a choice, we have a voice, oh, he's rapping, and I am not choosing to be a Nike dealer anymore. A Nike dealer, that's outstanding.
We've known all along, this was the lesson, we've been in constant contact, and...
There's a lot of wind in that audio, but that's an actual news outlet talking to him, and there's just way too much wind in their audio. And so he wrote, this on his Facebook page. He said, "Everything Nike, half price until it's all gone." Okay, nigga, you ain't Bezos. You can't sell at a loss, Dookie Duke. fucking. And so it continues. He says, quote, "As much as I hate to admit it, perhaps there are more Brandon Marshall and Colin Kaepernick supporters out there than I realized," end quote. And his store, after 21 years, is now closing. Yeah, his store's closing, but you know what? He's still a white man on Earth that had a business up and running for 21 years. And I mean, he's probably gonna, I mean, if he doesn't own the property, he's gonna sell it. He'll be fine. But yeah, the young people, I think that's more of a Generation Z thing than millennials. You know, because they're coming up now and they have their own jobs and money and they're making decisions. And they're like, we're not going to cop from you. You don't got the hot shit on the block, son. All right. I think you can dig it. I certainly can myself. Phoenix Kalita's show notes. Yeah. Okay. Because the thing is, we've decided to spread white on white crime out instead of mixing it down into one episode. I think there were some folks on Twitter that were like, nah, keep the white on white crime in one thing. But spreading it out, it'll work better with our life schedule too, so that we don't like have to try to make sure that we're there every single Wednesday, because Phoenix Kalita is more involved with raising the unit of Offspring and whatnot. So we're podcasting more sporadically than tight scheduled defiedly. That's a word. All right, so Florida, Brooksville. At some point, we will have covered every city and town in Florida. So there was an altercation between a Florida couple that, and it ended in a culinary fashion. This individual's name is Jennifer Brassard, a 48-year-old individual of Brooksville, and she was arrested on battery charges after she beat her boyfriend with a frozen pork chop. According to the arrest report, Brassard and her boyfriend were engaged in a verbal argument on Friday when she threw the pork chop at the unidentified man. Now, it says that the man suffered a half-inch cut from the pork chop. Oh, because you know what? If the bone is sticking out, yeah, it could be a sharp, yeah. Whoop-a-doo. The boyfriend fled the house after the pork chop flew. Oh, so she's got throwing skills. Dude, that's like ninja throwing stars or something. And the police determined that Brassard was the primary aggressor in the disturbance. I don't know. I mean, what was she responding to? Because the boyfriend is a boyfriend. Like, was he on some gaslighting shit? Was he provoking her somehow? Like, I need the full context. All right? It's sort of, I know, casual misandry. But I'm suspicious of the menfolk. And Brassard was booked on a misdemeanor domestic battery charge and released on a $250 bond. And Phoenix told me that shit's like divided by 10 something, so I guess 25 bucks. And hey, I hope she cracks him again. You know, don't do whatever it is that you did that made her fucking have to do that. You goofy looking bastard. All right, folks, and this kind of shit is why we have a trigger warning at the beginning of the overall programming. Let's see. So we're going over to Oregon and Myrtle Creek. And this is off of OregonLive.com, Pacific Northwest News. And this article's up by Everton Bailey Jr., who writes for the Oregonian and Oregon Live. So, a Myrtle Creek police officer was arrested last week after authorities say he pretended to be a child on Facebook to solicit sexually explicit photos from teenaged girls. He is also accused of separately sexually assaulting a 10-year-old girl. His name is Alexander Salterio, a 33-year-old individual. After the Oregon Department of Justice agents, wait a second. Oh, he told Oregon Department of Justice agents after his arrest on Friday that he sometimes sent girls nude photos of himself from his home in Roseburg. so they would send him photos in return, according to a probable cause affidavit. The authorities determined a 13-year-old, a 14-year-old, and a 17-year-old girl sent photos to Salterio. And there are other suspected victims between the ages of 12 and 17, the affidavit said. The Justice Department received two tips from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children in December after Facebook reported uploaded content as child pornography. Authorities later traced one of the IP addresses to Salterio and another to one of the girls, according to the court documents. According to the affidavit, Salterio would contact girls on Facebook while pretending to be a teenage boy and solicit sexually explicit photos from the children. He would also send sexually explicit photos and videos of a boy and claim it was him, in addition to photos of himself, the affidavit said. Quote, and this is quotes from the affidavit documentation. With most victims, Salterio would direct them what intimate part to photograph or video and how they should do it. With some victims, he would threaten to post their previously disclosed intimate images online if they refused to provide further images and videos. End quote from the affidavit. That reminds me of back when I lived in, at this point in time, I lived in Tacoma, Washington State, but I still fucked with a lot of cats out in Spanaway, where my childhood was, and there was a girl there, a high school girl and her high school boyfriend, and she wanted to break up with her high school boyfriend, didn't want to be with that guy anymore, but her parents did not know that she had a boyfriend. And she actually liked another guy and wanted to be with that guy. So the guy that she was currently with, I call this rape, coerced her into continuing to have sex with him, or he would tell her parents everything. And she told the guy that she wanted to be with about this. And he went ahead and handled that. And check the class privilege and how spoiled this fucking rapist is. He caught those knuckle hammers. And, you know, folks around the school know the story. He told his parents about it. And because he didn't want to be embarrassed and go to school after being known as a rapist that got his ass beat, his parents moved them all the way to California. Just picked up the whole family and moved to protect the rapist. All right. And that's that coercion, right? I'ma tell if you don't keep giving me what I want of your body. Continuing. The 10-year-old girl disclosed the abuse to authorities on Friday. Salterio has been a police officer. Remember, this is a good cop here. Salterio has been a police officer with Myrtle Creek since August of 2017, state records show. Myrtle Creek is about 18 miles from Roseburg. He remained held in the Douglas County Jail Tuesday on accusations of using a child in display of sexually explicit conduct, first-degree encouraging child sexual abuse, coercion, first-degree unlawful sexual penetration, first-degree sexual abuse, and aggravated identity theft. Now, we could just kill him. That's also like just sitting there remaining held. I mean, we can hold his face under a pillow, shouldn't take too long, and put an end to this individual. And if you share this individual's story, remember, hashtag good cops.
We're also following another deadly shooting, this time in Florida, where a gunman opened fire at a yoga studio in Tallahassee last night. The man killed two people and injured five more before turning the gun on himself. CNN's Diane Gallagher has been following this for us, and so I understand, Diane, that some of the people at the yoga studio tried to take this gunman down. They fought for their lives.
They fought back. I mean, you can only imagine. You think of yoga, you think of this tranquility and peace and that relaxation. This is a hot yoga studio. When they say when that gunman came in and opened fire, police say that people, the students in that class, attempted to take him down. They tried to fight back. According to officers, though, by the time they got there, he had turned the gun on himself and killed himself. That is 40-year-old Scott Beerley. They're still working to figure out the connection between him and that yoga studio. Before he killed himself, he shot six people. He pistol-whipped another. Two of those people died, 21-year-old Maura Binkley and 61-year-old Nancy Van Nessem, both associated with Florida State University, which is located right there in Tallahassee. Nancy Van Nessem, a doctor, well-respected in the community. We have seen a hospice speak out about how wonderful she was for them and what a pleasure she was to be around the university as well. And Maura, again, a student there, her sorority, Tri Delta. I just want to read you real quick something they wrote on their Facebook. They said, as a leader in the chapter, Maura embodied the Tri Delta woman, brave, bold, and kind.
All right. So, obviously, this coming off of AMP.CNN.com. I do not know what the AMP is. That's something I've only recently started seeing on this, on these CNN joints. So, in the past 3 months, investigators have conducted dozens of interviews and reviewed journals, records, and electronic files of a gunman who killed two cis women and injured four other cis women at a Florida hot yoga studio. Now, what they found was months of planning and history of hatred toward women. This information was delivered at a news conference by the Tallahassee Policy Overseer Chief Michael DeLeo, and that was this past Tuesday. Now, the individuals, Maura Binkley, 21-year-old individual, and Nancy Van Nessem, 61-year-old individual, those are the ones that the folks that are listening to the podcast audio heard in the news clip right there that played before the SEG. And those were the ones that died, of course. Now, the overseer chief, DeLeo, it could be DeLeo, D-E-L-E-O, well, it could be D-E-L-E-O, delete every law enforcement officer. All right. And he said there is substantial evidence that the gunman, a 41-year-old individual, Scott Beerley, if you remember, quote, pre-planned this attack. And after demonstrating, quote, a lifetime of misogynistic attitudes. I didn't know there were more than one. Well, you know what? Yeah, you know what? Because I guess if you might be misogynistic, say you're a cis white man, you might be misogynistic in general, or you might just only be misogynor, only hate black women, or you might be trans misogynistic, only hate trans women. I don't know. So I guess, yeah, there could be plural, but that's probably not what this good cop means. Probably good cop. The gunman purchased the handgun used in the shooting in July 2018 and the following month called the hot yoga studio and conducted a search for a map of its building. Shit. It's documented that he called them and I guess conducted a search. Maybe he was looking online and it's in his browsing historicals. So in the weeks leading up to the attack, the Deltona, Florida resident, searched for the yoga studio's class schedule, booked a hotel in Tallahassee, and bought hearing protection and a yoga mat at a Walmart store. The gunman had nearly 100 rounds of ammunition with him on the day of the shooting, the police chief said. Now they move into toward his hatred toward women. During the investigation, the police found a history of a hatred toward women stretching from Beerley's childhood through to the day of the attack, authorities said. The suspect had a history of sexual misconduct that started in grade school. All right, so we have covered some of this before, so we're doing a wee bit of rehashing because we do hit a lot. If this is like your primary, you know, sort of lefty-headed social justice news, we do hit a lot of stories, so I am okay with some of the rehashing. The gunman had also faced reports of inappropriate contact with female soldiers during his time in the military, an issue that Kirsten Gillibrand just doesn't really care about anymore. and had twice been fired from substitute teaching jobs in Florida for sexual misconduct. Say what the fuck it is. I hate the phrasing sexual misconduct. What the fuck did this motherfucker do? Because, I mean, is this the motherfucker that, I don't know, it might be a different story. The fucker that, like, just went up to some woman on the beach and just, like palmed her buttocks and gripped her buttocks, like, and she's like, dude, what the fuck? In 2018, he was accused of touching a female student at a school where he worked, the police chief said. Although he didn't live in Tallahassee, a quote, lifetime of misogynistic attitudes caused him to attack a familiar community where he'd been arrested several times for his previous violent action towards women, end quote. All right, now they move forward into the horror. Police say the gunman left the Tallahassee hotel where he was staying and arrived at the 5:30 p.m. class a half hour early. He signed up for a class and told the receptionist he would wait outside for it to start. He paced outside the studio, saying very little to anyone. When the class started, he retrieved the hearing protection and gun. Quote from Delete Every Law Enforcement Officer DeLeo. Quote, Beerley then shot the two victims who did not survive from behind, neither giving them the opportunity to confront their attacker or flee, end quote. As he continued shooting, he was struck with a vacuum cleaner by another victim. During the struggle, his weapon malfunctioned, giving several other people time to flee. Once the shooting stopped, one victim heard the gunman make an unintelligible statement, then there was a pause, and the victim heard a single gunshot, according to the police chief. Now they go back to the, it says he's harbored hatred towards women, so going back to that topic in this article on amp.cnn.com. Although there is no evidence to show the suspect targeted a specific person at the studio, according to Delete Every Law Enforcement Officer, there may have been a connection between the gunman and the location of his murders. In 2013, the gunman communicated with a woman over Facebook who said she attended yoga classes in Tallahassee. His journal had entries referencing the woman and were quote, threatening and derogatory in nature, end quote. The gunman's writing expresses hatred towards women in general and themes of, quote, rape, torture, and murder. Continuing the quote, Scott Beerley was a disturbed individual who harbored a hatred towards women, end quote, from Officer DELEO. And I don't like that disturbed shit. That shit, it kind of rhetorically removes responsibility. Like, nah, nigga, he a grimy ass nigga that wants to fucking rape and kill women and girls. Like, that's who he is. Other people are disturbed by him. Other people are murdered by him. Other people are raped and sexually misconducted upon by him. He causes disturbances. He's not disturbed. Shit. All right. Furthering a quote from Delete Every Law Enforcement Officer. Similar attacks have occurred around the country, and it's incumbent that we come together to identify people who pose a threat and protect those who they would victimize. Well, look among your employees, DeLeo. All right. And this will be the last one. And this full deal will be mixed down and put up to Patreon only temporarily. And then it'll go ahead and be a public full episode. And I'll start by, I'll put one clip up by itself this Thursday morning. And everything else will leak outward. All right. Please be as safe as possible wherever you are. PayPal.me/PhoenixAndWilliam. Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. And a good deal on Phoenix Kalider. She might be getting like a position with the Sex Workers Outreach Project. And hey, it comes with a small stipend. So hey, the household could use it. All right. And the household is damn sure happy about you motherfuckers that are on the Patreon already that hit shit up. And the homies that like to drop something in the donation tip cup on the PayPal, we can dig it. Like, again, it's beyond covering cost to have a program and to upgrade equipment. Like, this microphone is about on its way out that I'm speaking on right now. This laptop is about on its way out that I'm recording on right now. So, damn good. So you folks, like, you fund the program, but then also you make it a job where it's like, we get groceries off of this shit. You know, I've had the Patreon come through and immediately go and pay the electric bill. Like, you make it a job for us. You are our employers. All right. Thank you, motherfuckers.